everyone, and thank you for joining us on another episode of Lid Publishing's podcast, Lid Radio. My name is Miro, and I will be your host for today's show. With me today is Jill Hassan, who is the author of the Confidence Pocketbook, Little Exercises for a Self-Assured Life. How are you today, Jill?
I'm good, thank you.
It's great to have you here on the podcast. And for those listening, Jill teaches, trains, coaches, and writes. Her key motivation is helping people realize their potential and live their best life. So she has come today on the podcast to talk about this book. But before we get into the technicalities, I would like to ask you, what inspired you to become an author?
Well, I wasn't so much inspired to be an author as to just write about something that I knew quite a lot about and had experience in. So I began teaching in adult education about 20 years ago, personal development type of issues, just straightforward assertiveness courses, really, to start with. And then I went on to teach a range of organisations, including the University of Sussex. And I was interested with a colleague into how is it that some people have a lot happening in their lives or has happened in their lives, and they can come on some personal development courses, read personal development self-help books, and that really helps them and they can move on with their lives. But others have similar sort of experiences, but they just don't move on. So what I became interested in was the subject of resilience. What makes people resilient? So I looked at some of the research around that, and it really seemed to reflect the what myself and my colleague Sue Hadfield, what we had discovered in people, what helps them to move forward or not. And so it was something we wanted to write about. So that's really what happened. It was more writing about it was a sort of means to an end. It helped us to explore it and research it further. And we approached a publisher who was very interested in us writing this book, making it very much a self-help type of book. So that's how I got into publishing. That's how I became an author.
Great. And actually going on to the book itself now and some of the themes and topics in there, it seems that confidence and self-esteem are an issue which is omnipresent in our society. And a lot of people focus on it. Why do you think that is? What are the main reasons behind it?
I think that rightly or wrongly, people feel that a lack of confidence and self-esteem is holding them back. And I say rightly or wrongly because rightly, yes, self-esteem, a lack of self-esteem and confidence absolutely does hold you back. But I think also people can often use it as an excuse for not getting out there, not moving forward with their lives, not doing the things that they really want to do. And so I think it helps to... I find it always helps for people to understand actually what confidence and self-esteem are. And people have a general idea, but specifically confidence is about what you believe you can or can't do. So I might, if you ask me, for example, am I confident that I could drive up to Scotland? I live in Brighton, up to Scotland on my own. I would say, I'm reasonably confident, meaning, yeah, I believe that I probably can. I've never done it before, so I don't know that I can or I can't. So confidence isn't what you can or can't do, it's what you believe you can or can't do. So that brings in a lot of sort of the idea and the concept of positive thinking. You could come up with all sorts of reasons why you couldn't do something, why you believe you couldn't do something, but maybe not look at the things that could help to convince you or give you the evidence that you could do something. So confidence is about building your beliefs, and I feel you can choose to focus on the reasons why you couldn't do something. Self-esteem is related to confidence. Self-esteem is your, well, the clue's in the word actually, self-esteem. It's your estimation of your value and worth, and that is probably more something I feel that is we're more vulnerable to. Self-esteem comes from how you feel about yourself and your abilities, but it also comes from how other people feel about you, about your opinions, your beliefs, your values, what you can and can't do. And as we all know, other people can really bring you down and make you feel pretty bad about yourself.
Yes, and what really stuck out for me there in what you said was that when it comes to confidence and in turn your self-esteem, there it's very easy to convince yourself of something, and there could be a million reasons behind it. And there's always something that we can think of, which is something I see a lot, and that's quite an interesting phenomenon. But what I would like to focus now is, now that we've established what confidence and self-esteem are, for those of our listeners who perhaps are struggling with these issues, what is the first step that we can take when it comes to improving our confidence?
So you asked me what's the first step, and actually it is a step-by-step approach. Confidence, we talk about building self-esteem and confidence, and so yes, it starts... We have sort of foundation, a baseline, and then we build it up step by step. So the first step is to actually recognize what you can do in anyone's situation. So again, if I was wanting to be confident about, say, driving up to Scotland on my own, I would think, okay, well, what can I do? Well, I know that I can drive on my own. I know that I can read a map. I know that I can maybe go somewhere using a sat-nav. I know that I've been driven on my own, say, to Portsmouth. So I would look at what can I do in anyone's situation and then think, okay, so what's the next step from there? That's the crucial thing. It's to look at what your comfort zone is. Look at what you feel comfortable and confident doing, what you believe that you can do, probably because you've done it before. So look at what you can do. And in anyone's situation where you're looking to feel more confident, and then think, okay, what's the next step? So if you were wanting to feel more confident about giving a presentation, for example, at work, you might think, okay, so what can I do? Well, I can talk to a group of people around a dinner table, or I can structure a presentation. I know how to write that out. So look at what you could do in that situation and think, okay, so what more do I need to do to help me believe that I can do this? And it might be, you might need more practice, for example, talking in front of a group.
So in a way, we are creating a formula and a plan that we can action in our everyday life. And eventually, perhaps even if we don't notice it, we'll get much improvement.
Yeah, and actually to do exactly, and to use the driving analogy again, you know, I imagine a large percentage of your listeners know how to drive. Well, the driving instructor didn't just say, you know, take us out into the middle of a busy town and go, okay,
yes.
Go.
Yes.
They know that they have to start at the very basic. They know that you probably can, when you get into for your first lesson, you can probably move a steering wheel round. So they start with that. They know that you're aware that there are mirrors. They start at the you know most basic level and keep building up. So they've got a plan for you to help build your skills and build your confidence. You just have to do the same in all sorts of other areas of your life where you want confidence. And it's, you can't just become a confident person. You have to actually build confidence in different areas of your life. You have to make the effort. And by doing that, the more areas you start to build up where you feel confident, the more of a confident person as a whole that you will become.
Yes, absolutely. As the driving instructor would say, always look in every mirror before we go up. And it starts from there. But I'd like to focus a bit on the book itself, which has over 100 tips, techniques, ideas and suggestions on how we can actually improve these aspects of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Can you perhaps give us free tips that our listeners can try and see for themselves, how they can have a great effect on them?
Gosh, yeah. Where to start? What would be the top three? Well, I think the main thing would be to, you know, sort of going back to what you can do. So the first thing to do would be to look at what your strengths are. Look at what you are capable of doing. And then, for example, if you thought, well, I'm quite a decisive person, or I'm quite a reliable person. First of all, the main thing I would do is start focusing on what you can do and what your skills and strengths and abilities are. Maybe even make a list of those things. So if you thought to yourself, I'm a reliable person, or I'm a caring person, then write that down and then think of, well, sort of almost, what's your evidence for that? How do you know you're a reliable person? How do you know that you're a caring person? When have you been like that? And you're then writing affirmations, you're writing truths about yourself. And you need to focus on those things. It's very easy to beat ourselves up and think about, oh, you know, I'm no good at this, I'm hopeless at that. And you can keep yourself stuck in that. That doesn't mean to say that we don't have weaknesses or inabilities, but you can choose which ones you're going to look at. So focus on your strengths. Look at what you can do, what you are capable of. Acknowledge what you can't do and what you're no good at, and you can maybe work on those things, change them, or just accept them. But I think my sort of top tip for strengths for building your own confidence is to start with looking at what you can do and start getting into a habit of reminding yourself of that. Courage, yeah, that's another one. Having courage, that you know, confident people aren't people who are unafraid. Confident people are often scared of doing something. Just because you're confident about doing something doesn't mean to say that you feel perfectly happy doing it. So you need courage, which is a bit of an old-fashioned sort of concept, I often think, but it's something that we all need. So courage is about doing something despite feeling scared or afraid. So don't ever think that confidence is not being afraid. Confident people are often a bit scared about doing something, but they do it anyway, and they only take a step out of their comfort zone. They don't stretch themselves too far. So when, again, remember, you're building confidence. Right. So expect to feel a little bit scared when you're stepping out of your comfort zone, but recognize that that's okay. You're using your courage, and that's a good thing. That's a positive thing.
Absolutely.
Probably knowing your values. I've talked about knowing what your strengths and skills are, but think about your values. If you're ever not sure, if you're not confident that you're doing the right thing in any one situation, then think about what your values are. So in other words, what's important to you? So if you wanted the confidence to approach your manager for a pay rise, for example, what's important to you here? Do you feel that you're undervalued? Do you want to feel more valued? Do you feel that you deserve more money? Do you feel that you're not getting pay that's equal to the amount of work that you're doing? What's important to you here? Think about, in anyone's situation, what's important, and use that to sort of give you the courage and the confidence to move ahead with what it is that you want.
Great. And actually, there is one thing I'd like to talk about, and that's this ever-present external factor of other people when it comes to dealing with our confidence. And how can we actually deal with people who are deliberately out there trying to bring our confidence and self-esteem down? As you said, there are those who will do that, and in turn that can have great impact on us.
People do often, yes, they do often deliberately try and bring us down, and those people are very often bullies or they're trolls on social media. That's the intention in their mind. They're deliberately trying to bring you down. I think other people, you end up being brought down by them, and that wasn't specifically their intention, but an off-the-cuff remark by someone else, a criticism by someone else, can just bring you down. They weren't actually thinking, right, I'm going to knock this person's confidence, but what it ends up doing. So, yeah, some people deliberately try and bring you down, and other people, it's not their intention, but it does bring you down. What you can do with the people who are deliberately trying to bring you down, the bottom line is you have to remove yourself from those people. You have to withdraw. And if you can't completely withdraw, you have to at least limit the amount of time that you spend with them. So if that person who's deliberately bringing you down is your mother-in-law, or your brother-in-law, or somebody that you have to work with, so it's not somebody that you can completely withdraw from, at least limit the amount of time you spend with a person like that. For other people that bring you down without and knock your self-esteem and confidence, you've got to build up the confidence, actually. You've actually got to build up the confidence to challenge them. And that comes from being assertive. And in fact, that's how I got into doing more around confidence when I first started working in personal development and self-help, was that I started by teaching assertiveness courses. And I recognized that to be assertive, you've got to be quite confident. But to be confident, you've got to be assertive. So you've got to work on both areas. Right. And it is something that you've got to develop.
Yes, absolutely. And something really interesting there that you said. And when it comes to people who don't necessarily try and harm us in any way, but as you said, they might have made a remark or perhaps a comment that simply goes in the wrong way. Perhaps there is a level of miscommunication that we can all try and improve, and in turn we can actually eliminate such situations.
Yeah, I think that it's very difficult actually with other people's comments and put downs and the things that they say and do. I mean, a lot of it obviously comes from childhood, when we've had parents and siblings say things that were just remarks, but that we found hurtful because we were feeling quite vulnerable. But now that we're all adults, you have to either question the person or question yourself what they've said. It's very easy to be sensitive and overreact to what other people have said. You then have to question, actually, do I really believe what they've said about me or to me? So am I the person that they think I am, or am I no good at something? Actually, start to be honest with yourself, because sometimes other people's criticisms, there can be a seed of truth in it. So you have to look for that. Maybe there is something there. So rather than let it bring you down, actually think, maybe there's something there in that. So you've got to be quite honest in challenging yourself as well. So deciding, actually, is it utterly unwarranted what the other person has said or done that's brought down your self-esteem, or is there a seed of truth in it? So if it's unwarranted, you can either let it go or you have to challenge them about it.
Yes, I've absolutely agreed on that point. And the final question I'd like to ask you is the one I ask everyone that comes on the podcast, and that is, what are you currently reading?
I have just been to Greece for a week, and I like to read books when I'm away in another country that have some sort of element of that country in it. So I'm just reading the current bestseller by Victoria Hislop, Cartes Postales from Greece.
Very interesting. And that, I think, is actually a fascinating habit, to be able to immerse yourself in another country's culture and perhaps way of life by reading something related to it.
Yeah, I think so. I was in America last year, and I reread a couple of John Steinbeck books. So, books, novels set in the 30s in the States. And I just enjoy doing that. I enjoy feeling that it's adding to the sort of holiday and the atmosphere by having a book about the place that you're actually visiting.
Yeah, it's a very fascinating way of approaching it. And with that, I would like to thank you very much for joining us today, Jill. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's my pleasure. And of course, for those listening, in the description below, you can find links where you can learn more about the book. And of course, you can find more about Jill and her work. And you can visit her at www.jillhassan.co.uk. to find out more. And we would like to thank you once again for joining us this week on Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. And we very much look forward to seeing you next week.